Well, thinking of songs, as we have just been reading, songs that we sing, Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the wave, Britain never, never, never will be slaves. A song much loved at the last night of the proms, sung at great volume with huge gusto and enthusiasm. It was written in the 1740s, but it was taken by the Victorians. It was adapted and adopted by them as a great sort of patriotic, nationalistic song of empire when we did rule the waves, when so much of the world map was painted pink with conquered lands. When we sing it today, though, it is of glories past. Maybe that's why we love it, nostalgia for a previous age when we were great. But there are other occasions when we're great today, sporting achievements, especially when it's a national team that wins, and then we sing songs of victory. I remember clearly being at Twickenham, watching England play rugby against Wales, the arch enemy, sorry any of you who are Welsh. Unexpectedly, England won against the odds. And how much sweeter when a victory is unexpected and surprising and emphatic, not a close margin, but a squashing, a shattering of the opposition. My memory of the singing at the end of that particular match was of deafening singing, really, rejoicing at the victory. Well, this song of Moses, which we've said rather tamely, we couldn't really burst into song on it, is a great victory song, and it's celebrating miraculous and unexpected and surprising against the odds victory. Death and defeat looked certain for Israel at the hands of the Egyptians, but the tables were turned. Chapter 14, verse 30. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. It was of huge significance for them then, and through the history, the people of God recited this victory, recounted it again and again. But why? Why was this so significant? Well, the song tells us in poetry what we have read about and looked at last week in chapters 13 and 14. Poetry expresses an emotional response. Chapter 14 recounts the events of the crossing of the Red Sea. Chapter 15 is that joyful response to these events. Three things to say. Here's the first. What joy? The past is past. The past is past. What joy? Moses and the Israelites didn't sing this song to themselves. They sang it, verse 1, to the Lord. And the song is all about the Lord. It is a song of praise and of worship to him. For it recounts what he has done. And what he has done tells us what he is like. It is his victory. The people have done nothing. They had no part to play. They had no contribution to make. The Lord did it all, and they were the beneficiaries. The last few weeks here, we've been preaching through these opening chapters of Exodus, and it reminds us of the oppression and suffering of God's people. Slaves in Egypt for generations, 430 years. Unrelenting hard labor. A harsh and unrelenting regime. And as we read back in chapter 2, we read they groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God promised he would come down and rescue them, that he would judge Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt. And we see these judgments in the plagues, the final one being that death of the firstborn, the death of all those who were not protected by the blood of the Lamb when God passed over. And at this, Pharaoh relents and lets the Israelites go. And so they leave. But on the way, Pharaoh changes his mind. Chapter 14, verse 7. This is just to recount what we looked at last week. He took 600 of his best chariots. Chariots of the day were like tanks of our day. They were an extraordinarily efficient and good weapon, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. And then it repeats it for emphasis in verse 9. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them. So you get this sense of this overwhelming force of Egypt, Israel on foot, no chariots. And we know what happens. The Lord's angel intervenes and protects them with the pillar of cloud. They can't advance any further, and the sea, which looked like to be, well, you couldn't cross the sea, but the Lord opens up the sea so that the Israelites could escape. The Egyptians pursue them, as we read in verse 23. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. Verse 25, the Lord made the wheels of the chariots come off, so they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." And then in verse 28, the water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. So no wonder they sing in verse 3 of chapter 15,